The following podcast was recorded at the Presbyterian Church in Burlington on March 8, 2015.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I could use his sermon to the end of my sermon. That was beautiful. And also, the anthem was so special to me. Repeat with me. Lord, we want to know you.
Lord, we want to know you.
Oh, we can do this better. But now repeat thinking of it. Lord, we want to know you.
Lord, we want to know you.
Live our lives to show you.
Live our lives to show you.
All the love we owe you.
All the love we owe you.
We are seekers of your heart.
We are seekers of your heart.
Seekers of your heart.
Seekers of your heart.
So precious to be a seeker of the Lord's heart. Can I ask the choir to sing that part, just a little part again? And then now you know the words, you can try to sing together, because it's just so precious. I came singing this in my heart. And then listening to them, ah.
75.
Yeah, Lord. To show you all the love we know we owe you, Lord. For Lord, we are seekers of your heart. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Don't you think it's difficult, it's hard to be a seeker of the Lord's heart? It is a hard thing to do. We seek, but can we really get the Lord's heart? It was good when he said, we gotta be good love ourselves, otherwise we think, oh, that's no use, I'll give up. I look like a crazy seeker sometimes. I enter an elevator in Boston. Who works in Boston here? Or have ever worked in Boston? You go onto into an elevator in the morning, at 9 in the morning, people coming up to work. Do you see a smile? Nah. Sometimes you get someone with a smile. And God forbid someone smiles at you. What a weirdo. That's me. I go into the elevator, and I go in, and I go like, make sure that I look in the eye of the person. And they look at me, and I know what they're thinking. This woman is a weirdo. Uh-oh, there's a cuckoo lady here in the elevator. But we need to bring some smile, some happiness to this crazy world without peace. People wake up in the morning, mad, nervous, driving down to work, already screaming at each other. It's a crazy world. We gotta seek the heart of God. If you try to do what's right, you are judged. If you are trying to speak a good thing, you are shushed, and you are weird. It is hard, but you know, let's do it anyway. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, or in Lent. What is Lent all about? Colossians 3:12 says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Give me one word that represent Lent. Come on, participate with me. Help me out. Be welcoming.
Fasting.
Oh, that one I can't do it, as you can see. I always forget. I am fasting in the morning, but I get caught up with other things instead of praising. When I see, yuck, I already ate. But I've been trying to learn. Thank you. Fasting. Yes.
Patience.
Another one.
Hope.
Discerning.
Remembrance.
Yes, another one. Humility, maybe. Give me more.
Repentance.
Sacrifice.
Many of these, what is it?
Remembering.
We have so many things that we do during Lent, but it's our preparation during Lent for a great story that they sang. That we, in the beginning, one of the things we sang in the beginning is, Lord, I lift your name on high, like he came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. We are preparing for that story, which is Easter. When we do this, we have to learn humility, discerning, repentance. And the text today talk about sin. We have to repent of our sins. And there's a list of sins here, the Ten Commandments. We don't like to talk about this thing. I don't like to talk about the sin, because I don't sin. What are you laughing about? I'm going to be a pastor. I don't sin. See? I do. We all do. But you know what? Let's talk a little bit about these things. Not the way of the Bible, God pointing the finger to each one of us, but as directions in how to seek the God's heart. Exodus 20, verse 3 says, it's the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. We only have one God, right? The Creator, our God. Hallelujah. Good. But then, I do love money. Ay, ay, ay. Without money, I can't survive. Without God, I even can. That's not right. So we sometimes put money in front before God. Is there another God that we put before God? What about education? Education is so important, but sometimes people think because they are educated, they are much better than anybody else. They are gods, super gods. We think, oh, now I just finished my master's, Mark.
I finished my math. I'm much better than... No! That's wrong. We are not. We should be seekers of God's heart. All of us, together. You shall nor make for yourself an idol. Oh, that we don't make idols. We don't make the little things. We don't create little puppets. Well, Sunday school does, but it's not an idol. we make idols. Can you give me an idol that we make?
Money.
Money is another idol. It's God.
Cell phones.
So who the young generation knows about an idol? Can you give me your cell phone and be without it, without no cheating, for a whole week? I couldn't either. I'm not blaming you. Mine is there. It's turned off for the service, but I have to turn it on later. But even Facebook is hard to turn off. We make idols of so many things. What about another one? Give me another idol we make.
McMansions.
Houses. Oh, the big houses. Yeah.
Fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Technology.
In
general. How much money we have.
What about me? Me. Our ego. We make ourselves idols. And we think that we are the coolest thing on earth. And we think we come even before God. God forbid there's a mirror right here. I will go in front of it, looking at it. I'm just kidding, because my husband fights with me all the time. I never saw a woman that doesn't stop in front of the mirror. Fix your hair. But we do this sometimes, always, you know, thinking about us. And another one is our children, our husbands. We put them before God sometimes. We have to put God in God's place. But we put other things as idol first. The third commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. That's true. We learned here, since little, you cannot use the name of Jesus in an inappropriate way. I was at work one day, and they told me something horrific that had happened, a disaster or something. These girls were telling me, and they know I'm a Christian. So I said, oh, Jesus, because it was awful. It was really, and I was like saying Jesus, like, and saying, Lord, have mercy. I meant it. And they said, ooh, Carla said a bad word. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean, bad word? I said the name of my Lord, meaning it. So we have to be careful, because of that, we don't speak of the Lord Jesus. But we should speak of the Lord Jesus when needed. When needed, we should talk about God to each other. We should we are seekers of the heart. We should share about this love we feel. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, only when your pastor is here. Oh, no, sorry, I read my notes too. That's not it. And thank you for all of you being here. It's a blessing to see the church here. But we have to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, using the Sabbath to praise the Lord, dedicating the Sabbath, which is the seventh day, to praise the Lord. Honor your father and your mother.
then you think, I do, because I love my mom and my dad. Some people can't because they are, unfortunately, in this world, some parents who are supposed to love the most, we hear stories and stories of abuse, and so there are people who are hurt. And it's hard to honor those parents and to forgive. But the Lord have mercy and help. And if anybody needs to talk about this later, can talk to Pastor Mike or to one of us, and we can pray with you. But most of us have parents who love us, and we don't pick up on the phone and call them. Like J.K., who watched the Oscars? The Oscars, J.K. Simmons said a great thing. He said, if you're lucky enough to have parents, one or two alive on this planet, don't text or email. Call them on the phone. Tell them, this is when he won the Oscar. Call them on the phone. Tell them you love them. Talk to them as far long as they want to hear you. Then he tapped on his chest and said, thank you, Mom and Dad. I can only tap on my chest and say thank you, Mom and Dad, because they can only hear me. I cannot hear them anymore. But when we do that, we are honoring Mom and Dad. When was the last time you called your mom and dad, if you have them here? Even if it sounds mushy, even if it sounds awkward, let's do it anyway. Like, Father, you're not Mother Teresa, but you can do it anyway. Do it. We can do it anyway. I love when my children call me. You shall not murder. This is the sixth. Who's a murderer here? Well, nobody raised the hand here. Just me. Well, I'll tell you what, when I'm driving in Boston, forget about Rio de Janeiro, which is, I came from Brazil. Over there, the thing is worse. But when I'm driving here, going, singing, and all of a sudden, this crazy person who must know how to sew well, because they go like, choom, 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 doing zigzags like this, cuts in front of me. And I have to break. And that person cannot hear me. But I scream, are you crazy? What are you doing? Oh my gosh. And then God can hear what I'm thinking. Oh, I wish it hit something up there. Immediately, I ask myself, Carla, what are you doing? What are you doing? What kind of love is that you have? What kind of forgiving is that? When we get mad at someone, we think, oh, I want to kill that person. Don't we think that sometimes? If we are really honest, when we are very mad, we just say that we don't really want to kill that person. But just by thinking, we're almost killing that person. We should refrain and think. This is learning with the Word of God, how to seek the heart of the Lord. The seventh, on verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. I'm not even going to there, but Matthew 5:28 says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust had already committed adultery with her in his heart. Never mind acting on it. This is mine. This is very serious, because for men it's hard, and for women it is too. Because people go out dressed to kill. Have you heard this phrase, dressed to kill? It's not dressed to kill like the Schwarzenegger. It's dressed to kill the soul of another person with lust. But we should be careful of not thinking like this, because the Lord teaches us. You shall not steal, but that I don't have any problem. I just forget sometimes and take the, I'm signing a check and take the lady's pen with me and put in my purse, but I get home feeling so guilty. As soon as I have a chance, or sometimes I forgot from whom I stole the pencil. I love when they put those flowers thing coming out of the pen, because then I don't have the problem of stealing that. But there's another place to get. We are close to income tax times. And that is a problem. A lot goes in our minds when dealing with companies and bosses, and we think we deserve what we are taking. But that's stealing. But Mother Teresa says, if you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. And finally, you shall not give false testimony. But we love soap operas, don't we? Gossip, talk about others. You shall not covet. Let's read, I'm going to read the last, verse 17 and Exodus 20. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. That's the big mansions. I have a small, tiny apartment, but when you see a big mansion, you're like, oh, I wish I had it. Oh, I don't, because I don't like to clean, do that stuff. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife or male or female slave. We don't have slaves anymore. Not a problem with that. Or ox, only on farms. Or donkey, no problem. Or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Good. We don't have much problem with coveting. But these two verses, giving false testimony and coveting, they walk together. In this world of competition, it's easy to covet our neighbor's stuff. Men, you don't covet much unless your neighbor comes up with parking a Maserati, a Ferrari, a Tesla, right before your eyes in his garage. That is what goes in your mind. The false testimony comes right up. And you go like, he must be stealing. That's right. We think, what's going on? How come he can have it and I don't? I'll tell you a funny story. My boss at this place that I used to work came to our house to visit us. And at my house, we are poor. We don't have much. But once we had an extra money, and we decided to buy a 15-inch TV, 51 or whatever inch TV. It's a big TV. We gave ourselves that. That's the only thing we have there. But we had this beautiful TV in our house. My boss came to, he lives in a mansion. He has a Mercedes and a BMW in his garage, two BMWs, something like this. He has big cars. He has everything. He walks in our house and he says, whoa, what a TV. How come you have a TV that big? I don't have it in my house even. This man has everything, for crying out loud. He didn't have any need to covet our TV. But it's enough. That's why the Lord has it as a commandment. It's an order. Do not covet, because we have within us. And we women don't have this problem.
I don't know why they're laughing. We don't have this problem, just men. For example, we work hard the whole week. We come home. We don't have time to go to the hairdresser and be all spiffed up. We don't have time for all this. We have to come home and then we have to, we like our house nice and tidy and clean. And then what we do? We clean up and everything. At the end of the night, we're exhausted. Oh, let's go to sleep. And then we see the big van of the Merry Maids coming to your neighbor. Clean up her big house, and her house is always big, having new things, and she's always nice and big, beautifully dressed. With, she has nails done, and she has her hair done, and she wears Chanel. Tell me something else she's dressed, because I'm not used to it. But we think, what a life. I would love to have that life. But we don't have to. Because if we are seekers, men and women of the Lord, we can have inside of our hearts the serenity, the happiness that having the Lord's heart would give us. And He gives us. And Mother Teresa says, if you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Jealous. Be happy anyway. In this world, we are doing the right thing, but doing the right thing might be outdated and awkward. It takes courage and faith to do it anyway. We can only do it because of the story that comes after Lent that we've spoken before, because Jesus came, because of the love of God. Can you tell me, I know it, in Portuguese, because love so God the world that He sent His only Son. We can do a better job saying that together. For God so loved the world, so yes, so we have eternal life. Because of that love, we cannot feel frustrated not having the heart of God, because God gave us the heart, all of us. I would like to end with Mother Teresa's poem, Do It Anyway, which is printed in the bulletin. And also, Kathleen was kind enough to make little cards. At the end, you can pick up cards and take to someone. Do it anyway, from Mother Teresa. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people may cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Just build it anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Just give the world the best you've got anyway. You see, in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It never was between you and them anyway. May the Lord bless us and help us do it anyway this week. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Today's sermon was delivered by Carla Diaz, candidate for ministry. This podcast was produced by the Presbyterian Church in Burlington, 335 Cambridge Street, Burlington, Mass., and edited by James McNinch. If you can't visit us in person, then visit our website at www.burlingtonpres.org. This podcast is copyright 2015 and provided under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means you have permission to download and give away copies of this podcast.